Appreciate the good prayer that Michael led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in song as we blended our voices together and raised them up in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate the reading of the scripture that Alvin just gave for us there from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. And I'd like to encourage each and every one to keep an open Bible and to follow along this morning as we discuss the phrase, "Finally, brethren." You see, the phrase, "finally, brethren," it denotes a final exhortation. And as I take the pulpit here at Belleville for the last time this morning as your preacher, I thought it would only be fitting for us to take a few moments to examine the "finally, brethren" passages that we find recorded in the scriptures as I leave you with one final exhortation. And I begin this morning with, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Paul gave this exhortation to the saints in Ephesus as he was about to bring his epistle to them to a close. And he gave this exhortation to them as he goes on to instruct them to put on the whole armor of God in order to withstand the wiles of the devil. You see, brethren, it's important that we are reminded of the fact that as children of God, we are at war. And we are at war with Satan, the devil, who is our adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8. And knowing that, we need to always seek strength in the Lord, lest Satan, our relentless foe, uses his methods of deception and trickery to gain the advantage over us. Being reminded of that, brethren, know that being a Christian, it is not a playground, but rather it is a battleground. And because of that, I exhort you to be strong and in the power of His might. Because when we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and when we put on the whole armor of God, guess what? We're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I encourage you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His mind. But I also say to you, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Paul spoke those words there in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse number 1. And here, as Paul makes a transition from one topic to another, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." It's important to note that the word "rejoice" means to feel or show great joy or delight. And as Christians, we should be the happiest people on earth, shouldn't we? We should. And as Christians, we need to be a people who always rejoice in the Lord. The Apostle Paul was a great example of one who rejoiced in the Lord even when circumstances were not the most desirable. We know that about him, right? We know about the trials, the tribulations, the persecutions that came upon the Apostle Paul. And even when circumstances were not the most desirable, the Apostle Paul still rejoiced in the Lord, didn't he? And here he gives the instruction to Christians to do the same. You see, we go on to see there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 where Paul gave the exhortation to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Think about that. Paul said rejoice in the Lord every once in a while. No, that's not what he said. He said rejoice in the Lord always. You see, to some, That sounds impossible, doesn't it? To some, it sounds impossible. And except one be in the Lord, it is impossible. But for those of us who are in the Lord, it's not impossible, is it? It's possible for us to rejoice always. And we need to be mindful that when Paul says rejoice always, that means we need to rejoice in times of disappointment as well as times of pleasure. We need to rejoice all the time, in the good times and in the bad times. And did you know that it has been said, and I quote, "If a Christian is not rejoicing, they have ceased to remember the assured hope of eternal life to come." End quote. Remember that, brethren. Keep on keeping on through the good and the bad times. Be one who always rejoices, always in the Lord, knowing that as Christians, we must rejoice in the Lord, and we must rejoice in the Lord always. Therefore, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. But I also leave you with this exhortation of the Apostle Paul found there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And there Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You see, as Paul is about to bring his epistle to the saints in Philippi to a close, he gave a list of sound thinking propositions that we all would do well to meditate upon. And did you notice that list? He says, things that are true, things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. He says, if there is any virtue in anything praiseworthy, you meditate or you think upon these things. Do you know how important of an exhortation that is? Do you? You see, there is a vital connection between that upon which one thinks and how he lives. That's important. The wise man even told us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's a vital connection between that which upon one thinks and how he lives. Therefore, we need to be one who focuses our attention and our thoughts upon things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Simply put, we need to fill our mind with wholesome things, and we need to let these things engage our thoughts, remembering that there is a connection between that which one thinks and how one lives. And brethren, when we fill our minds with these wholesome things that we learn about here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, guess what? It's going to have an impact upon the actions of you and I. We will be a people who conduct ourselves in a way that is pleasing not only to others, but more importantly, to God. So, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. But I also leave you with this exhortation of Paul found there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 1. And there Paul writes, "Finally then, brethren, We urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. You see, while Paul was with the brethren at Thessalonica, he gave them instructions concerning how they ought to conduct themselves in a way that pleases God. And now he is urging and exhorting them to abound in that more and more. Simply put, Paul is encouraging the brethren in Thessalonica to press on. He's encouraging them to press on, to keep on keeping on with an even greater determination to please God. And brethren, this morning I likewise urge and exhort you to do the same. Brethren, we spent the past 5 years here doing our best and giving instructions concerning how we ought to live in a way that pleases God. I hope you found that instruction beneficial. But more importantly, I hope you take that instruction and make the proper application of it in your lives. Just as these Thessalonian brethren did, as Paul talks about. He says, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. You see, as we've talked earlier, the life of a Christian is not always going to be easy. There's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times. But even through it all, we need to remain faithful to the Lord. We need to always rejoice in the Lord. And we need to make it our priority to do all that we do in a manner that pleases God. And just as Paul encouraged the brethren in Thessalonica to abound more and more, that is, to have that great determination to press on to please God, I likewise encourage you, brethren here at Belleville, to do the same. But also, I say, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. There in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, in drawing his second epistle to the church of the Thessalonians to a close, Paul asked the brethren in Thessalonica to pray for him and his fellow laborers in the Lord. When he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. But I want you to notice, this request from Paul for the prayers of the brethren at Thessalonica, it wasn't a request for selfish desires, was it? But rather, it was a request for what? A request that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it was with you. Simply put, Paul requested the brethren in Thessalonica to pray for him and his fellow laborers so that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, that is, so that it may spread rapidly without hindrance, and that it may be glorified, that is, so that it may be held in honor, and that its glory may be manifested in the transformed lives of those who obeyed it. Just as he says, just as it was with you. Think about that. What a compliment to them, right? What a compliment. But brethren, as we prepare to leave this work here at Belleville and to begin preaching the gospel at Greencastle, I too ask you to pray for us. I ask you to pray for us that the word of the Lord likewise may run swiftly, that it may spread rapidly without hindrance, and that it may be glorified, that it too may be held in honor, and that its glory be manifested in the transformed lives of those who obey it. Please pray for us, brethren, because we're going to be praying for you. And just as we pray for you, we likewise petition your prayers for us. But also, there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, Peter writes, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." You see, after giving special instructions to citizens, to servants, to wives, and to husbands, Peter says, finally, as he sums up the qualities that should characterize Christians and their relationships with one another, which would result in producing blessings from God. And notice these qualities that Peter put forth in regard to qualities that should characterize Christians and their relationships with one another. Notice what he said. He first said, be of one mind. Simply put, Peter's saying, be united. And brethren, God's people must be like-minded in the sense that they live in harmony with one another. I likewise encourage you, brethren, as I say, finally, brethren, that you too be of one mind. That you two be united. That you strive to live in harmony with one another. Knowing, as we learn there in Psalm 133 and verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. It's a beautiful thing when brethren are of one mind. When brethren are united. And when they dwell together in unity. And brethren, if we are going to receive blessings from God, guess what's going to be needed in order to produce that blessing from God? Going to have to be of one mind. Going to have to be united. But he also goes on to say there, having compassion for one another. Simply put, Peter says, have compassion. Be compassionate. And it's important to note, when one is compassionate, they are one who considers others' feelings. They're one who are sympathetic toward another. That's important, isn't it? That's important. And it's important for us to recognize the need to not only be of one mind, but the need to also have compassion one for another. When I think about that, I'm mindful of Paul's instruction found there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Remember what Paul said there? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We need to be happy for one another in the good times. When others are prospering and maybe even we may not be prospering all that well, instead of being jealous of them, we need to be happy for them, don't we? We need to rejoice with those who rejoice. But on the flip side of that coin, when things aren't going so well and we know that there are some difficulties that our brother or sister is experiencing, we need to be sympathetic with them, don't we? We need to weep with those who weep. We need to be a people who have compassion for one another. But Peter also says, to love as brothers. Think about that. Remember our lesson last Sunday morning? I gave a definition of love. Remember what I said? Do you? Love's more than just a feeling inside, isn't it? But rather it's an act of goodwill towards another. We need to be mindful of that, brethren. We need to be a people who always seek to go around doing good toward one another. We are to love as brothers. And by this, Jesus said, others will know you are my disciple. Not only did Jesus command his disciples to love one another just as he had loved them, but he goes on to tell them why that's important there in verse number 35 of John chapter 13. When he says, by this, that is by your expression of love towards one another, all will know that you are my disciples. Again, our love for one another serves as our badge of discipleship. And we need to be mindful of the fact that the love of God and the love of brethren go hand in hand. Did you know that? Did you know that? Notice that with me there in 1 John chapter 4. Here in 1 John chapter 4, this can be seen. In the fact that John says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's a good question, isn't it? You ever consider that before? Think about that. And love as brothers, knowing that the love of God and the love of brethren go hand in hand. But Peter also says, be tender-hearted. You know what that means? You know what it means to be tender-hearted? It simply means to be kind-hearted. It means to be kind, gentle. And brethren, we need to be that kind of a people. We need to be a people who have a kind and gentle disposition. But Peter also says, be courteous. Some translations read, be humble in spirit. When I think about that, and I think about the instruction given, be courteous or be humble in spirit, I think about how humility will prompt kind, courteous action towards others. Remember that. Put it into practice. And finally, I say, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. But one more final exhortation to give to you, brethren. And that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, where Paul said, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. I likewise echo those words of the Apostle Paul to you. And as the Apostle Paul was about to bring his second epistle to the saints in Corinth to close, he says, finally, brethren, farewell. You want to know something interesting about that word farewell? It's not what many of us think. It's not goodbye, adios, see you later, as many of us think. You see, it's interesting to note that that Greek word translated farewell there, guess what it means? It means to rejoice or to be happy. That changes things, doesn't it? You see, Paul isn't saying, adios, brethren, I'm never going to see you again. Take care. Goodbye. No. Paul's saying, finally, brethren, rejoice. Be happy. And that's what I'm telling you. You see, although we are not going to any longer be here with you on a weekly basis, not only am I not only going to be taking this pulpit on a weekly basis and continuing to exhort you, I'm not going to do that anymore. But although we're not going to do that anymore, it doesn't mean goodbye. It doesn't mean that we're never going to see you again. Because if the Lord wills, guess what? We're going to see you again. We've developed relationships with many of you here that we hope last lifetime. And we're going to continue to spend time together with you when we can. We're going to continue to come and visit and support the gospel meetings that you'll have in the future, the Lord willing. We're going to continue, as Onita reminded me earlier, to talk to one another on the phone, to check up on one another, to stay in touch. We're going to do that. Therefore, it's not farewell, goodbye, howdy-o, see you later. But rather, it's farewell in regard of be happy. Be happy. But Paul also says, become complete. Some translations read perfect. And brethren, it's important that we all strive to be perfect, to become complete before God. Do that, brethren. We all got room to grow, don't we? We all got things we need to work on. And I encourage you to continue to strive to be complete, to become complete, or to be perfect before God. Remembering the words of Jesus found recorded there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 48. And there Jesus said, "You shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." But I also say, as Paul, be of good comfort. You know how this can be achieved? You know how we can accomplish that? This can be achieved or accomplished by consoling one another and by encouraging and strengthening one another by consolation. Simply put, brethren, if we're going to be of good comfort, we're going to have to be there for one another. We're going to have to be there for one another. We're going to have to console one another. And we're going to have to encourage and strengthen one another by our consolation. But Paul also goes on to say, be of one mind and live in peace. Simply put, what he's urging here is the need to once again be united. The need to once again live in harmony with one another. And just as Paul, as he was bringing his epistle to a close there to the Corinthians, just as he urged and exhorted them to be of one mind and to live in peace, I likewise leave you with that exhortation. Once more, it's important that you stay united. It's important that you strive to live in harmony with one another. And just as Paul pleaded with the saints in Corinth that there be no divisions among them, I likewise plead with you that there be no divisions among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. But rather that you all strive to be of one mind. And you want to know something as we go on to see the rest of that verse? When one promotes these things, what's it going to do? It's going to result in blessings from God. Did you catch that? You see, Paul says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, now watch it. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Remember that, brethren. Strive to be a people who promote those things, knowing that by doing so, the God of love and peace will be with you. Finally, brethren, thank you for all your encouragement, love, and support the past 5 years. Know that we love and appreciate you more than any words can express. And may you all keep on keeping on. And may God bless you all. We're about to sing a song by way of invitation titled, Is Thy Heart Right with God? I ask you to think about that question for a moment. Is thy heart right with God? Is it? You see, we don't want anyone to be leaving here this day with their heart not being right with God. Therefore, if your heart is not right with God, we plead with you to get your heart right with God this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. For you have heard the word of God. And we learn there in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just like the Ethiopian eunuch of old, as we learn there in Acts 8 and verse 37, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. As we learn there in Acts 17, verse 30, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. You can make that good confession. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you could be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you can have your heart right with God. You too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one among us this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. Maybe your heart's not right with God. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. Once again, make your heart right with God while you have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you, with you or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need may be, won't you let that need be known now while making your way toward the front while you stand and sing the song and ask the blessing.